Let us pray. God of love and mercy, we love because you first loved us. Open our hearts to your love as we listen for your word. May the light of your love fill us, warm us, reshape us, and empower us to love in the name and the Spirit of Christ. Amen.
Listen to the living Word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Which of all the commandments is the most important one? And Jesus said, love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And there's a second commandment just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. We're about to baptize Maple Began. Some of you remember what happened about 5 months ago when Peter and Abigail, PJ and Abigail, it turns out, his family has squealed on him. When they first brought that little sweetie in, remember what happened? How many of us went, oh, how beautiful. Can I hold her? That little moment that you have when you see a newborn and that magic rises up in you, that's a little taste of the love of God. When the New Testament talks about love, it uses some different words in Greek. One of those words sometimes is philios, brotherly love. Love of kinship, family love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That sense that we're in this together, that I'm loyal to you because you're part of my family. We're one. Sometimes it uses the word eros, erotic love, love that sees what is beautiful in another person, and you want that, you desire that beauty, you want to be around that person, you want to hold that person, you want to touch them. It's a love of desire. It's almost selfish. This attachment to the attractiveness and loveliness of somebody. Sometimes the word that's used in the New Testament is the Greek word agape, which is that selfless, self-giving love that wants the best for somebody no matter what. Commitment to somebody's well-being and wholeness so that they have whatever they need to be who they're created to be. It's kind of love that we see in Jesus, who healed people even when it got him hurt, who blessed people even though it got him cursed, who was faithful to his friends even when they betrayed and denied and deserted him, who forgives us even while we're busy killing him. That kind of love that's there entirely for the other person's sake. All of those are wrapped up in God's love. And all of those, to some degree, we feel when we look at this beautiful newborn baby. And there is this sense that we're connected, that somehow we're in this together. We watched Abigail grow. There's that philios, that sense that we're connected. And there's erotic love. It's not sexual, but it's definitely this attraction to what's beautiful. Oh, what, can I touch her? Can I just stare at her because she's beautiful? And you notice that doesn't have a whole lot to do with her personality or her behavior or her history. She hasn't done anything yet except pee and poop and barf and cry and drink milk. That's pretty much her life. And we love her because we can see how beautiful she is. We see that loveliness. And there's a sense of wanting the best for her. If she were hurt or in need, because there's that agape and compassion. All of that is part of God's love. In the Old Testament, when it talks about God's love, sometimes it uses the Hebrew word chesed, which means this steadfast commitment, this loving kindness. And sometimes it uses a word that really means womb love, the love of a mother for the child of her womb. All of that is God's love. It's not just one kind. It's all love, because there's only one love. God's love is the Big Bang that gives rise to all of creation. Everything comes from God's love. And so when Jesus picks out those two commandments out of all 611, love God and love your neighbor, and says they're like each other. They're like two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. And he says all the other laws, the whole law and prophets, hang on those two commandments. All the other 609 commandments, they're just ways of loving God and loving our neighbor. And when he says that, he knows that that love with which we love God is God's love, that we're just returning to God. And the love with which we love our neighbors is God's love that's overflowing from us. That's all that Jesus cared about, that we learn to love. All of our repentance, all of our learning, all of our discipleship, all of our discipline, it's just a matter of learning how to love God and love our neighbor. Day after tomorrow is the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation, Protestant Reformation. There was this Roman Catholic monk named Martin Luther who had an argument with the Catholic Church about some of their theology and some of their practices. And on October 31st, he announced these arguments, 95 of them, that he had with the Church. It was his attempt to reform the Church. Well, that argument never got resolved, and it ended up with the split of the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church that was protesting all that stuff. That's the Reformation. Well, a couple hundred years later, John Wesley was a priest in the Church of England, and he had an argument with his church because he thought it needed to be reformed and there needed to be more love going on there. And that argument never quite got settled, and it ended up in the split again that created the Methodist Church. And 200 years after that, here we are, heirs to that tradition of Reformation. And what the Reformation means is not just that we had an argument once, but that we are called continually to be reformed and reforming. That we're always asking, how do I need to be reformed? How does the church need to be remade? That's the Reformation. And what Jesus would say to that, and what John Wesley would say to that, is we need to be reformed in love. Yeah, we have a lot of theology that we need to fix. We have a lot of practices that we need to change. We have a lot of stuff that we need to work on. But all of that is this one thing. We need to be reformed in how we love God and love our neighbors. So how do we go about doing that? Well, There's a lot. There's a lot to work on. We need to practice forgiveness and humility. We need to learn a lot about listening and understanding. We need to practice some new ways of praying and discerning God's will. But I think the place where we begin to be reformed in love is to allow God to love us. If we're not very good at loving God, it's probably because we don't feel beloved enough. If we're imperfect at loving our neighbors, well, maybe that's because we're holding back, because we think there's a shortage of love. If we're too busy judging our neighbors, trying to teach them a lesson, making sure they get what they deserve, maybe it's because we think there's a shortage of love. Maybe we haven't received all the love that we need for it to really overflow. When we baptize Maple in a couple minutes, it's a moment when we hear God say to Maple, "Oh, how beautiful. Can I hold you?" And there will be this moment when whichever one of them is holding her, they will hand her off to me. And that little movement, that's always a little scary because you don't know if suddenly the baby's going to burst out crying, which sometimes they do. That's what we're practicing. Saying to God, "Yes, hold me." And when she's old enough to be confirmed, that's what she's confirming. "Yes, God, I will let you hold me. I will let you love me. I will let that love fill me to overflowing." And so we practice remembering that so that we can live out that love for her and for one another, so that she's surrounded by that. So that every kid who's a part of this church, every adult who's part of this church, after a while, they just know that they are God's beloved and it overflows. And all of that begins when we allow God to say to us, "Ooh, how beautiful. Can I hold you?" And we say yes over and over. The water of this baptism reminds us that we are immersed in God's love. The water is like the water that we have to keep drinking day after day to renew ourselves, to be reformed in love. It's like that water of a river that flows, that continually goes someplace new in love. It's that water that washes us clean of all the things that get in the way of our perfect, full, divine love. It's the water that we are invited to immerse ourselves in. So we are reformed in God's love by letting God really love us. And it changes everything. Will you pray with me? God, we hear your voice. We hear how much you love us. We immerse ourselves in your tender love, the love of a mother for the child of her womb. We breathe in your love and breathe it out to one another and to all the world. Your compassion flows through us, fills us to to overflowing. Help us always to listen for your voice that calls